Thank you, Fran. The burdens and devastations of extreme wealth inequality, of course, fall most heavily on the poor. But the pernicious effects of such inequality also corrupt and degrade the entire society in which it is allowed to flourish under the unholy mandates of neoliberal capitalism. Today I'm reading an article which addresses these issues titled Inequality, Social Dysfunction, and Misery by Graham Peebles. Year on year, the economic divisions and subdivisions in the world deepen, and the associated social ills increase. The rich, comfortable, and the very extremely rich keep getting richer, and the rest, well, while some may be raised up out of crippling poverty into relative poverty, the majority of people continue to live under a blanket of economic insecurity and largely remain where they are. Straddling the global ladder of economic and social division sit the multi-billionaires. There are some 2,208 billionaires in the world today, 42 of whom, and that's down from 61 in 2016, according to a recent poll, own the same amount of wealth as the poorest half of humanity combined. Together with their lesser cohorts, this coterie of trillionaires sucked up 82% of the wealth generated in the world last year, while the 3.7 billion people who make up the poorest half of the world saw no increase in their wealth. Income and wealth inequality is not simply a monetary issue. It is a complex social crisis that supports and strengthens notions of superiority and inferiority, and was described by President Barack Obama in 2013 as a defining challenge of our time. Today, the obscene levels of inequality are the result of the neoliberal economic system. This extreme form of capitalism took hold first in America and Britain in the early 1980s, when Reagan and Thatcher ruled. Workers' rights were trampled on, society was a dirty word, and community responsibility was abandoned to selfishness and greed. With the aid of the World Bank and the IMF, neoliberalism swiftly spread throughout the world, polluting life in every city, town, and village with its divisive, cruel ideology. Commercialization and competition are key principles and have infiltrated every area of contemporary life. Everything and everyone is seen as a commodity. The size of one's bank account determines the level of health care, education, and housing availability, as well as one's access to culture and freedom to travel. Social injustice is inherent in the system, as is inequality, which is itself a major form of injustice. Inequality strengthens deep-seated social imbalances based on class and social standing. In a world where everything is classified, commercialized, and priced, that is, attributive value, external wealth, and position have become the common criteria for determining the internal worth of a human being. Comparison and imitation follow. Individuality is perverted and fear fostered. Fear of inadequacy, fear of failure, fear of not being loved, because not deserving love and not being able to afford love. Resentment and anger and self-loathing are fed, leading to a range of mental health issues, including anxiety, depression, and drug and alcohol addiction. The impact of financial inequality on the health and well-being of society has been extensively studied by Richard Wilkerson, Professor Emeritus of Social Epidemiology at the University of Nottingham. In order to establish national levels of inequality, Wilkerson and his team used a benchmark based on how much richer the top 20% is to the bottom 20%. Japan and Scandinavia, Finland, Norway, Sweden, and Denmark, come out most equal, and now Slovenia and the Czech Republic have moved towards that group. Israel, New Zealand, Australia, Britain, Portugal, and USA are found to have the greatest levels of inequality, and by some margin. Recent data suggests that Russia, South Africa, and Turkey should now be added to the most unequal pile. Germany, Spain, and Switzerland sit somewhere in the middle. Data relating to a range of social issues are examined. The most unequal countries were found to have lower life expectancy than more social equal societies, higher infant mortality, many more homicides, larger prison populations by 10 to 15 times, applied longer sentences, had higher teenage pregnancies, lower mathematic literacy levels, more obesity, less social mobility, and according to the World's Value Survey, a great deal less trust. In more equal countries like Sweden and Norway, around 65% of people trust others, whereas in unequal societies like the U.S., a mere 15% admitted to trusting their fellow citizens. In all areas, countries with high levels of inequality did worse, in most cases much worse, than their more equal nations. Mental health, for example, and these figures are from the World Health Organization. In Japan, around 8% of the population suffers from some form of mental health issue, compared to 30% in the U.S. Children are considerably healthier in more equal countries, based on UNICEF's Index of Child Well-Being, and feel a good deal happier. Wilson concludes, what we're looking at is a general social dysfunction related to inequality. It's just not one or two things that go wrong. It's most things. In one of the primary purposes of any socioeconomic system is to create environments in which human beings can grow and live happily together. Then the nations suffering under the shadow of inequality need to learn from Sweden, Norway, Denmark, and Finland, which are not just the least unequal, they are also the happiest countries in the world. Throughout Scandinavia, public services, education, which is probably the best in the world, healthcare and housing are valued, and taxes levied in order to fund them properly. There are greater levels of social justice. This allows for trust to develop, and where there is trust, relationships flower. The extremes of staggering wealth and stifling poverty don't exist as they do in the more unequal parts of the world. Social mobility is greater, and the dream of betterment more realistic. As Richardson says, if Americans want to live the American dream, they should go and live in Denmark. The case for fundamental change in the economic order and a shift away from the destructive values it promotes is becoming irrefutable. However, change occurs only gradually, and resistance is great. In the meantime, governments, particularly in the most unequal states, need to acknowledge the connection between the dysfunction and disease within society and their socioeconomic methodology, which is literally making people ill, as well as poisoning the natural world. They need to invest properly in public services, address wage differences, ban bonuses, introduce progressive tax reform, unlike America and France, which are taking retrograde steps by designing tax codes which will fuel inequality, look to the Scandinavian countries and learn from their example. As a wise man has said, the rich must give up what they want so that the poor can have what they need. What the rich and comfortable must give up is greed, another car, another house, more designer clothes, etc. What the rest need is freedom from economic insecurity and the fear of destitution, freedom from exploitation and dependency, secure, comfortable, and well-designed accommodation, and access to good education, health care, and culture. Such essential needs are the rights of all. When made manifest, they go a long way towards establishing social justice. And where there is social justice, functional, compassionate communities do evolve, conflict is reduced, and collective harmony is cultivated. That was an article entitled Inequality, Social Dysfunction, and Misery by Graham Peebles. The article can be found on the Counterpunch webpage.
You told us we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.